السلام عليكم جميعا ورحمة الله وبركاته. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين. الحمد لله الذي يجيبني حين أناديه ويستر علي كل عورة وأنا أعصيه ويعظم النعمة علي فلا أجازيه. نحمده ونسبحه ونقدسه على آلائه ونعمائه، ونشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له، إلها واحدا أحدا فردا صمدا قيوما، نؤمن له بالربوبية ونقر له بالعبودية. من يهدي الله فهو المهتدي، ومن يضلل فلن تجد له وليا مرشدا. ونشهد أن سيدنا محمدا عبده ورسوله، أرسله بالهدى ودين الحق ليظهره على الدين كله. اللهم صل وسلم وبارك وترحم على محمد وآل محمد كأفضل ما صليت وسلمت وباركت وترحمت على إبراهيم وآل إبراهيم في العالمين، إنك حميد مجيد. وصل اللهم وسلم على جميع الأنبياء والمرسلين والأوصياء والصديقين وعترة نبيك الطيبين الطاهرين المعصومين والخلص من أصحابه المنتجبين ومن تبعهم بإحسان وإيمان إلى يوم الدين. عباد الله، أوصيكم وأوصي نفسي بتقوى الله ولزوم أمره. قال الله تعالى في كتابه الكريم، أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم، بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم: يا أيها الذين آمنوا لا تخونوا الله والرسول، لا تخونوا الله والرسول وتخونوا أماناتكم وأنتم تعلمون. صدق الله العلي العظيم. One of the most fundamental merits and virtues in our faith, in our religion, is preserving, protecting, and maintaining the trusts, the amanat, be it material or immaterial. This is one of the most important foundations of our faith, of our religion. This is part of usuluddin, the fundamentals of faith. And preserving the trusts, hifdhul amana, plays a major role in building our moral character, our spiritual character. The family today, a family where the father, the mother, the members of this family, they take care of the amana. They preserve it. They are faithful in maintaining the trust. Is a powerful family, successful family. Is a family that moves forward. Is a family that you don't worry about it. When you instill this value in your son, in your daughter, from their young ages, when they are a few months old, that this is an amana, you have to protect this. If this does not belong to you, don't touch it. Don't take it. Or if you take something from a friend, property, a house, a car, anything, then you have to give it back. If you take money, give it back. If you take another object and you made a promise that I will bring it back, amana. Such a family is a truly an Islamic family. And we learn this since we are children. We don't learn it at the age of 40 and 50. We instill these values in our children when they are very young. Protecting the amana would enforce and deepens and strengthens your relationship with your Lord and with the rest of the society. Nothing better in the society than someone having a reputation of being amin, honest. You can trust this person. That's the best reputation. If they say he's rich, it could not be the best reputation. If they say he's wealthy, he's healthy, he's knowledgeable, he's this and that, would not help you the way it helps you when they say he's amin. You can trust this person. That's the best title. And no wonder that was one of the titles of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. As-Sadiq al-Amin. He was truthful. He was honest. You can trust that person. You can put your trust blindly in that person. That's the fundamental of faith and religion. And the amanat are divided into two types. One type is general. Anything God has given you is an amana, is a trust that you have to take care of. You have to maintain. God has given you reason, take care of your reason. God has given you body, safe body. Take care of it. Do not contaminate this body. God has given you family. God has given you a community, a society, a country. Take care of your country. Take care of your community. God has given you some money. Take care of that money. Take care of it. Spend it in the best way to build yourself, not to hurt yourself. And God, above all, has given you religion. God says in this book, this religion that I have given you, I offered this religion to the mountains, to the heaven, to the earth. They were too weak to carry it. إِنَّا عَرَضْنَا الْأَمَانَةَ عَلَى السَّمَاوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضِ وَالْجِبَالِ فَأَبَيْنَا أَنْ يَحْمِلْنَهَا وَحَمَلَهَا الْإِنسَانِ وَحَمَلَهَا الْإِنسَانِ. The only one who said, I am ready to undertake this responsibility and accept this religion, this book, this faith, this message is you. You, because you have intellectual power. You have a human soul. You have a bigger capacity than others. You are a human being. So this is a trust. Allah says, my religion is a trust, amana. Inna aradna al-amana. These are general trusts. In Surah Al-Mu'minun, وَالَّذِينَ هُمْ لِأَمَانَاتِهِمْ وَعَهْدِهِمْ رَاعُونَ. The believers are those who stand true to their covenants, to their contracts, to their promises, to the trust that they have been endowed with. They remain true. وَعَهْدِهِمْ رَاعُونَ. That's the general amana. Everything you have is an amana. You have to deliver it well. You have to protect it. And sometimes the amana is specific. It could be an object. It could be a material object, like money, a loan. If we are to have a survey today in Muslim societies, make a survey, a study, how many of those who take a loan from a bank or an institution, they would return the money? Suppose we have no court system, no police would knock at your door. You take a loan from someone, an institution, bank. And then, without the threat of the government, the law, you return it yourself. What is the percentage? Don't tell me the answer. You know the answer. This is in religious societies. I have a friend of mine. He lives in the Middle East. He said, in this country, Islamic country in the Middle East, I can't give loan to any person, including my brother. I don't give loan. If he needs money, I'll give him some money, gift. But loan, because I know the loan is not returned. This is the policy of this culture that I live in. The loan is not returned. Whereas in our book, we read on the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He came to Mecca, Fathu Mecca, the conquest of Mecca on the 8th of Hijrah, the 8th year. The key is the custodian of the house was a pagan. Pagan. He worshipped idols. The Prophet took the keys from him to open the door, the gate of the Kaaba, because the idols were at the top and inside. So the Prophet would destroy the idols. وَقُلْ جَاءَ الْحَقُّ وَزَهَقَ الْبَاطِلِ إِنَّ الْبَاطِلَ كَانَ زَهُوقًا. Then Allah said to the Prophet, now, since mission is fulfilled, you destroyed the idols, give the keys back to this man. The Prophet said, Ya Jibreel, this man is an idol worshipper. Allah says, because he is the custodian. This is amana, you took it from him, give it back to him. إِنَّ اللَّهَ يَأْمُرُكُمْ. This verse arrived, this verse in the Quran. إِنَّ اللَّهَ يَأْمُرُكُمْ أَن تُؤَدُّ الْأَمَانَاتِ إِلَىٰ أَهْلِهَا. Give back. God commands you to return the trust to its own people. He's the custodian, give it back to him. This is what we read in our book. But what we see outside is something completely different. Because we read the book, but we don't learn from the book. We don't learn to implement. We think the book is only for memorization and learning and reading, not for learning. So in this verse, in Surah Al-Anfal, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, Ya ayyuha alladhina amanu. O who you believe, the community of the believers, do not betray, لا تخونوا الله والرسول. Betray not God and His apostle and the community of the believers. لا تخونوا الله والرسول وتخونوا أماناتكم وأنتم تعلمون. These are three things, three entities. The scholars, they say, as to the first one, لا تخون الله, do not betray God. It means that you have moral and religious obligations, wajibat. God wants you to do certain things in this life. He commanded you to do certain things. One of them is to help others, to serve others. One of them is صِلَةُ الرَّحْم. I am just mentioning some. Beside the prayers, because typically whenever we speak about wajibat, our mind goes immediately to salat and siyam, and we neglect others. We think the salat and siyam we are done if we do prayers and fasting, but we are not done. There are other things. Salatul rahim, connecting with next of kin, with your family. How many of us do that? This is wajibat, do not betray. Today on the BBC, I read that in Britain, they established a new ministry. New department called the Ministry of Anti-Isolation. Anti-isolation? Because there are 9 million British people in the UK. They live in isolation and loneliness. Nobody cares about them. Nobody cares about that. The report says sometimes, not days, weeks pass by and nobody even calls them. And many of those, they die. They die because of loneliness. Because of loneliness. Because of isolation. Because they don't have a family member or a friend to check on them. They say a combination of both. The weather is gloomy and depressing in England. And also, no social ties. Nobody asks about them. But look at the beauty of our book. Look at the beauty of our religion. From day one, our religion says, remember your relatives. Remember them. Check on them. Visit them. Ziyara, if you visit an uncle, an aunt, a cousin, an extended cousin, extended relative, is considered an act of worshipping, act of ibadah. To call them, it's an act of ibadah. This is religion. So these are God's rights, God's obligations. We have to fulfill them. Number two, the obligation, لا تخون الله وتخون الرسول. The obligations introduced to us by the Prophet. What are they? Akhlaq, إنما بعثت لأتمم مكارم الأخلاق. Good manners. Good manners. To be humble, to be kind, to be generous, to be forgiving, to be tolerant, to forgive those who assaulted you, those who hurt you, you are willing to forgive. These are makarim al-akhlaq, to fulfill these lessons that we learn from the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. لا تخونوا الله والرسول. The third category, ولا تخونوا أنفسكم, among yourselves. Fulfill the trust among yourselves. When you take something from someone, whatever the value of it, whether the value is 10 cents or $10 million, you have to give it back to that person. If you take space from him, an apartment, a house, a vehicle, an equipment, anything, it has to go back to the original owner. It has to go back. I remember one time before going to Hajj, a lady called and she said, 40 years ago, imagine, she wanted to go to Hajj. She said, 40 years ago, I took a ring from one of my friends, golden ring. I took it from her. Now I want to go to Hajj. The ring is still with me. Imagine 40 years later. Now I want to give it back to her, but I'm embarrassed. How can I go back to her and tell her I'm a thief? I took it from you. I said, you don't have to go yourself, but you have to send it through someone. And because of this act that you are doing before your Hajj, definitely your Hajj is accepted by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is the spirit of Hajj. This is why we go to Hajj. We go to Hajj for this reason. So we don't have, when we stand before Allah, Allah would not tell me, oh, you took this from this, you took that one from that. This is the reason why we go to Hajj. I settle my accounts with people so I can settle it with God when I stand before Him on the day of Arafat. This is honesty. This is honesty. Is that you have the courage to give back what you have taken in the past because of shaitan, satanic whispering. We've done things stupid in the past, but you have to have the courage to go and give it back. لا تخونوا الله والرسول وتخونوا أماناتكم وأنتم تعلمون. Being faithful, that is the core of our religion. The core of Islam is to be honest, is to teach your family, teach your children, teach your neighbors, your friends, that the most important merit in my faith is honesty, integrity. I don't use something that does not belong to me. I'm not allowed to use it. I don't do that without permission. Even salat, my friends, isn't it an obligation 5 times a day? We can't perform the prayers in a place that does not belong to us, or we don't have permission. We know the owner does not accept. God says, don't do that prayers there. I don't want you to stand there and do your prayers. Do it in a place where it is lawful for you. The honor accepts. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم والعصر إن الإنسان لفي خسر إلا الذين آمنوا وعملوا الصالحات وتواصوا بالحق وتواصوا بالصبر وصلى الله وسلم على سيدنا محمد وأهل بيته الطيبين الطاهرين. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين نحمده ونسبحه ونقدسه على آلائه ونعمائه ونشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأن سيدنا محمداً عبده ورسوله أرسله بالهدى ودين الحق ليظهره على الدين كله. اللهم صل وسلم وبارك وترحم على محمد وآل محمد كأفضل ما صليت وسلمت وباركت وترحمت على إبراهيم وآل إبراهيم في العالمين إنك حميد مجيد. وصل اللهم وسلم على خلفاء نبيك وأوصيائه وأهل بيته وأحبته علي أمير المؤمنين وقائد الغر المحجلين وعلى البضعة الطاهرة فاطمة الزهراء سيدة نساء العالمين وعلى سبط نبي الرحمة وسيدي شباب أهل الجنة الحسن والحسين عليهم السلام وعلى علي بن الحسين ومحمد بن علي وجعفر بن محمد وموسى بن جعفر وعلي بن موسى ومحمد بن علي وعلي بن محمد والحسن بن علي والخلف الهادي المهدي عجل الله تعالى فرجه وسهل مخرجه وجعلنا من أنصاره وأعوانه. عباد الله أوصيكم وأوصي نفسي بتقوى الله ولزوم أمره. قال تعالى في كتابه الكريم أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم ولا تجعل يدك مغلولة إلى عنقك ولا تبسطها كل البسط فتقعد ملوما محسورا إن ربك يبسط الرزق لمن يشاء ويقدر إنه كان بعباده خبيرا بصيرا. صدق الله العلي العظيم. In my humble opinion, one of the most beautiful chapters and mesmerizing chapters of the Holy Quran is chapter 17, Surah Al-Isra or Bani Israel. It's full of wisdom, full of direction and guidance, right from the beginning till the end. And we did the commentary on it several years back during the month of Ramadan, over a period of 2 years, Surah Al-Isra. One of the best, most powerful chapters. And if you have a Christian friend, a non-Muslim friend who wants to know something about your religion, about your book, then introduce chapter 17, Surah Al-Isra, the Ascension, or Bani Israel. In this verse, Allah speaks about many concepts. One of them is financial management that we must learn, the Muslims. We must learn how to manage our finances. Allah brings a simple theory. وَلَا تَجْعَلْ يَدَكَ مَغْلُولَةً إِلَىٰ عُنُقِكَ And let not your hand be shackled and tied to your neck. وَلَا تَبْسُطْهَا Neither, nor let it be entirely open. وَلَا تَبْسُطْهَا كُلَّ الْبَسْطِ Lest you should sit condemned and destitute. Very simple economic theory in the Quran. How do we deal with our finances? How do we spend when it comes to expenditure? Allah says, be moderate. Neither be miserly. You make money, you have money, but you don't spend. When people look at you, they think that you are homeless. Don't do that. You have to respect yourself. If God gives you, then the hadith says when God gives a blessing to someone, let him show that blessing of God. Let him show it. It's like a son where the father gives him money, but the son does not wear good clothing, does not eat good food. So the people are going to think that the father is stingy. They don't know that the father is generous. He gives the son, but the son is a bad son. Sometimes we do this to God. God gives us good wealth, good income, but we don't want to spend. We want to accumulate. Just put it in the box and accumulate it to the day that Israel alayhi salam would arrive, inshallah. Allah says, don't do this. Be moderate. ولا تبسط ولا تجعل يدك مغلولة إلى عنقك. When God gives you, spend on yourself, spend on your family, on your community. Show God's blessings on you and your family. Show it. ولا تبسطها كل البسط. When you make money, also you have to spend it rationally and wisely. Rationally and wisely. Some people, when they make money, they don't know how to spend that money within 2 days. They don't know the etiquette, the manners of spending. They think that if they buy very expensive items, this is something good. They don't spend it in a wise way. Be careful in spending that. Sometimes the money with you is an abundance, but with others, they need it. When I ask people, why do you want to buy it? You don't need to buy this. He says, I have money, plenty of money. You have plenty of money, but you can invest it somewhere else. Buy clothing for others. Buy food for others who don't have. You don't have to waste the money on yourself. Some people, they waste. They don't have management. They are not wise. They are not wise. He could be graduate of this school and that school, but when it comes to money and economy, they don't have wisdom. How many people lost their homes? Not because they did not make enough money. They made enough money, but they did not know how to manage that enough money. They didn't know. They lost their properties. They lost their homes. They lost their livelihoods. Imam al-Sadiq alayhi salatu wasalam has a beautiful hadith. He says, "Dhamintu liman iqtasada an la yaftaqir." I guarantee for someone who spends his money wisely through iqtasad, moderation, that family, that person is not going to be impoverished. La yaftaqir. He's not going to be poor. If he knows how to spend the money. Know how you spend the money, you are not going to be poor. Therefore, you don't have to blame God later on. Why did you do this to me? God never does anything bad to us. It's us. It's our decision, our choice. وَلَا تَجْعَلْ يَدَكَ مَغْلُولَةً إِلَىٰ عُنُقِكَ وَلَا. Some people, they deplete the wealth. They are masters at depleting their wealth. And others on the other extreme, they do have money, but he's not willing to spend. I learned something from Steve Jobs. Steve Jobs, by the way, we have always to remember him in goodness, especially those who carry the iPhone with them, including me. He had a huge fortune, and he knew that he is going to die because he had a cancer. And he accumulated billions of dollars. But he said something very important before his death. He said, now I know when my death is near, is drawing near to me, now I know that wealth cannot save you. What can save you is your relationship with the people. The relationship that built. You have built with people around you. This is your legacy. Your legacy that you're going to carry with you even after your death is the influence you left on people who live around you. If they're going to remember you in goodness, then this is a good legacy. You have left an excellent legacy. If you have no influence or bad influence, you damaged the life of many people, many families, then that's a terrible legacy. We're going to leave all these properties and money and bank accounts. Believe me. Believe me, no one is going to take a penny with him to the grave. No one. We did not see people taking with them wealth to the grave. Wealth is yours now to invest on your akhirah. It's not yours after your death. It does not belong to you. Use it wisely. Be smart. Don't accumulate wealth. When God gives you, try to help. Reach out to others. Reach out to families who cannot make it. Let's spread the culture of education. Let's encourage people to go to good schools. If we want to build our countries, our societies, we have to encourage the young generation to go to good schools. so they can build their economies. Without building an economy, religion cannot survive. Islam cannot survive. I mentioned this last night here. God is not asking the hungry people to worship him. He would never ask a hungry person to worship him, because he knows the hungry person cannot focus on God. Hungry person who has children, he doesn't know how to take care of his children. You think he has time to reflect on God or worship God? He can't. Yes, one person too, like Prophet Muhammad, Imam Ali, they are different. Imam Ali was hungry, but he would focus more on God. But that is Imam Ali. That's not me and you. If you want to protect your country, protect it through good economy, good jobs, providing jobs. This is how you make your nation prosperous and stable and protected. This is. Nations are not protected only by armies. Protected by brains. The soldiers are the people themselves. When they are secure, economically secure, they don't need others. They don't need others. This is Islamic integrity. This is Islamic dignity. So let's work together. We have to build our society collectively, my friends. We have to fight something very dangerous in the midst of our societies that we have to fight, and that is poverty. Poverty is very demeaning. Imam Ali alayhi salam says, Wallah, by God, لو تمثل لي الفقر لو تمثل لي الفقر رجلا لقتلته. If I can see poverty incarnated in front of me as a person, I would never hesitate in murdering it and destroying it. لو تمثل لي الفقر رجلا لقتلته. Because poverty is the mother of every disease, is the mother of every crime in the society. You need to have a lot of faith in God, like Ali ibn Abi Talib, not to lose yourself when you are poor. You have to be like Ali in his faith. Otherwise, if people are not like Ali, they lose themselves. They lose their faith in God. So we have to fight poverty collectively. ولا تجعل يدك مغلولة إلى عنقك ولا تبسطها كل البسط فتقعد ملوما محسورا إن ربك يبسط الرزق لمن يشاء ويقدر إنه كان بعباده خبيرا بصيرا. There is a new small booklet, the biography of Imam Ja'far al-Sadiq, by one of our youth, Mehdi Bandali. He's sitting here and he's giving this as a gift to you. Of course, he told me $4. I said to him, no, $4 is too much. So if you can afford $4, put it in the box. If not, then take this and let your son and your daughter read this, a very brief booklet about the life and the legacy of Imam Ja'far al-Sadiq alayhi salatu wassalam. And on February 15th, I believe, we have a blood drive here. The American Red Cross are going to be stationed. 18th? 18th? Okay, February 18th, inshallah, which is, what day is it? Sunday, they're going to be stationed here outside. And as a gesture of saving lives, when you give blood, you save lives. وَمَنْ أَحْيَاهَا فَكَأَنَّمَا أَحْيَا النَّاسَ جَمِيعًا. Saving a life, not just a Muslim life, a life of a person, any person, anonymous, you don't know him. You are saving the whole of humanity. So as a gesture of saying that I love my community and my country, and I'm trying to help, not just with my money, but sometimes with my blood too. We don't go and do suicide bombing and kill others. The teachings of our imams, Imam al-Sadiq, is to save, not to kill. The teachings of Yazid and others is to go on murder, bloodshed, murder. But our imams, they say save, save the blood of the people, save their souls, their lives. So inshallah, the Red Cross are going to be here. You can see the flyer outside. So if you have blood, and alhamdulillah, all of us, we have good blood, then we donate, which is also healthy during the fall season, during not the fall, the spring, the Nowruz time, inshallah, it will be healthy. I leave this for the doctors to decide, however. اللهم اغفر للمؤمنين والمؤمنات والمسلمين والمسلمات الأحياء منهم والأموات تابع اللهم بيننا وبينهم بالخيرات إنك مجيب الدعوات إنك غافر الخطيئات اللهم انصر الإسلام والمسلمين اللهم اجعل كلمة الإسلام وأهل الخير والبر هي العليا وكلمة أعداء الله والدين هي السفلى اللهم أرنا الحق حقا فنتبعه والباطل باطلا فنجتنب من على مرضانا بالشفاء والعافية وعجل في فرج إمامنا وسيدنا صاحب العصر والزمان وإلى أرواح المؤمنين والمؤمنات ثواب الفاتحة مع الصلاة على محمد وآل محمد